Well, we're starting a new series this Sunday called The Pursuit of Wisdom. The Pursuit of Wisdom out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7 as our foundational text. But we will find ourselves going throughout the entire biblical context to grasp what it means to truly get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, if you find that, please stand as a sign of reverence and honor for the word of God and the God of the word. Reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Writ, the Bible reads as follows. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we come before an all-sufficient, all-knowing, all-present, and eternal God. And we come casting our cares upon you because you care for us. And we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for waking us up this morning to see a new day that was not promised. And we thank you for the promise that this day holds, that we will encounter you and to know you more intimately, more better, that we may better make you known. Bless our hearts, our minds today with a receptive ear to hear what you are saying to the church. Speak to our specific needs and struggles, and then speak corporately and collectively to what you will have us to do as a church, to be a witness for you in the world, to walk in wisdom, to walk in truth, and to walk in knowledge that is according to our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be the instruments that you use to bring light and understanding to those who walk and live in darkness. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Life in the American culture is motivated by a work ethic that drives us to go and get what is characteristic of success, significance, and security. You hear this mantra early in life, phrases like, if you want it, go get it. If you want to be successful, get an education. After you get an education, get a job, get a career, get a profession, and get paid. And family and friends will tell you at a certain age, get that woman or get that man, get married, get a house, and get some babies. The advertisement world will tell you, get that car, get those clothes, get that suit, get that brand, because those physical things will falsely produce in you this metaphysical fulfillment of happiness, significance, confidence, and peace. Capitalism tells us to get that money, get that position, seize that opportunity, get that power, take what's yours. And what is never, never, ever said, and I want to know, have you heard it in any area of your life? Get wisdom. I haven't. But in the Bible is the only place where God directs us in a world that directs us a different direction. He directs us in this pathway of wisdom, in this direction, to get wisdom. And all of the getting that people told you to get, have they ever told you to get wisdom? And I've thought about that for a whole week. And I find out in my own personal context, I haven't had a person to tell me, and all of the things that they told me to get was to get wisdom. Well, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get an understanding. What is wisdom? To the ancient Greek culture, wisdom is the acquisition of knowledge. Just amassing information like Google. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. It is a concept. To be wise in the Greek mind, in the Greek culture, it meant to understand a concept, to be able to comprehend that concept and analyze that concept and to think about that concept and to come to a comprehension with regard to that concept, and that's it. They were lovers of thought. That's the Greek culture. Then you have the ancient Hebrew culture. Wisdom to them was more behavioral or conduct than intellectual. It had intellectualism there, but that wasn't the focus. The focus for the Hebrew context is behavior, good behavior, external behaviors. So they were focused on behavioral than intellectual. The Hebrew word for wisdom is shakam. It means skill in living, learning how to live skillfully. That was the issue. This Hebrew Jewish writer of the book of James, who is James, says in James 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct or his good behavior, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." The American view of wisdom is a kind to the Greek culture understanding of wisdom, the acquisition of knowledge. There is a favorite motto in the American culture that says, "Knowledge is power." That's it. But the biblical view of wisdom is the skill of godly living, not the acquisition of information. Wisdom is becoming competent with regard to the realities of life, how things really happen, how things really are, and knowing what I should do about it. Taking the knowledge that I have and applying it to that thing is wisdom. It was Dr. Larry Lee who states, "Wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true matter of a thing or the nature of a matter and to implement the will of God in that matter." It takes wisdom. Bill Hybels states, "Wisdom is what is true and right combined with sound judgment." How does one get wisdom? I want us to consider five lessons regarding getting and applying wisdom to our lives. Well, number one, the first lesson is that getting wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. That's where it begins. To fear God is to desire to live in harmony with his righteous standards and to honor him or please him in all that we do. That's what it means to fear God. It's a desire to live in harmony with God's standards and to honor and please him in all that we do. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." In this verse, the words knowledge, wisdom, and discipline are being used as synonyms to describe the same thing, wisdom. Most biblical scholars says that this verse is the theme of the entire book of Proverbs. Every wise saying we find in Proverbs goes back to Proverbs 1:7. It goes back to this foundational principle. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord has two sides. One side is to hate evil, to hate sin, and to avoid sin at all costs. The other side of the fear of the Lord is to delight in doing God's will. That's one thing to hate something that God hates. But it's another thing to delight in what God delights in. The fear of the Lord is our introduction to the knowledge of God, God's perspective on a thing. Proverbs 10:27, look there with me. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs our time on earth. Proverbs 10:27. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Look at Proverbs 19. It tells us about that the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfied life or a happy life. And we're looking for happiness. We're looking for satisfaction. The song that came out a year or 2 years ago by Pharrell Williams. Y'all know that song? Happy. I mean, they were singing that song all over the place. Because deep down inside, human beings want to be happy, but when they accomplish what the world tells them that will make you happy, they find themselves even more unhappy. Because what the world tells you that will make you happy does not make you happy. And we have Solomon, the wisest man, human being that is, in the world, in world history. He tells us the same thing, that we can have knowledge, information, vacations, sex, we can have food, we can have power, we can have money, we can have friends, and we will still be chasing the wind. Because we're trying to find in all those things happiness. It only can be found in a relationship with God. Proverbs 19:23. It says, the fear of the Lord, what? Leads to life, and whoever has it rests, what? Satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. So here are these general truths, these general principles of wisdom, these pithy sayings of reality that God has given us through the mouth of Solomon. That the fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord leads to satisfaction. It leads to fulfillment. In Proverbs 22:4, it says, the reward for humility is the fear of the Lord. And that brings riches, honor, and life. There is something in this fearing God that produces wholeness in life. When we honor God and we desire to please God with our lives, we desire to do what turns God on, that God blesses and enriches our lives with Himself. And then we're satisfied with all that He provides. Psalm 111, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. So it's not enough to have knowledge. It's another thing to have knowledge and then to make application of that knowledge to life. And when you can apply the knowledge of God to your living, you are a wise woman and a wise man.
That's right.
That's the heart of wisdom, beloved.
That's it.
That is the sermon. All you know about God today as an individual, how much do you apply to your life? That will determine the level of your contentment, of your happiness, of your joy, of your fulfillment, and your satisfaction. And you will find out, beloved, it has nothing to do with how big your house is, how big your bank account is, how beautiful your woman is, how handsome your man is, how great you look, how great you feel. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't matter how many degrees, diplomas you have. You can be as rich as Bill Gates, as beautiful as Vanessa Williams, but beloved, you will never, or as handsome as Denzel Washington, but you will never find contentment unless you fear the Lord. Because in fearing the Lord brings satisfaction to those things in life. Psalms 112, verse 1, you can just write it down. It said, blessed is the man or the woman who fears the Lord, who finds great delight, great satisfaction, great pleasure in his commands. Oh, Jesus loved the commands of his Father. He said, it's written of me in the volume of the book to do your will, O Lord. I delight to do what you commanded me. Why? Because he loved God. And this was the problem with the Pharisees in the Bible. They had the law of God, but they never had the love of God. When you have the love of God, now you can approach the law of God with liberality for others and not legalism towards others. Y'all hear me? They loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. The Word of God was his life. Knowledge alone is just theory. But knowledge applied is practice. It's in practicing your faith that you grow. It's not in learning about your faith that you grow. Stay with me. Because we can sit and learn. We don't have to do anything. But to practice what you learn, that's the Christian life. That's where true discipleship lies. That's where it lives. That's where it breathes. It breathes in the application of the truth that you understand.
That's right, preacher.
So, beloved, we spend our time just accumulating information about the faith and no application of that faith to life. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't just gain faith. That faith should motivate us to walk, to act, to perform those things that God has deposited within our hearts and mind through his wisdom to understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's just the beginning of knowledge. To fear God means to view God with deep and healthy respect, as shown in hating what God hates and loving what God loves. You know, it's easy to love what other people love, but it's hard to hate what other people hate. Why? Because you might love what they hate. Some of you love LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Other people don't like LeBron James and the Cavaliers. They love Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Listen to that. That's on a natural, silly level. And we, some of us hate a certain kind of food, and some of us love a certain kind of food. Some of us love a certain kind of drink. Some of us hate a certain kind of drink. And then we fall out over the secondaries of life. But oh, to hate what God's hate. Now you're on a different level. Because it's easy to love what he loves. But when he starts hating things, oh, he may hit the thing I love. Isn't that the problem? It will take wisdom to know the difference. It will take wisdom to discern that and to be able to make the adjustment. Because God is the standard. So you have to make the adjustment. God doesn't make the adjustment because he's the standard. On a vertical level, he's the standard. On a horizontal level, it's just our opinions. And we don't have to make adjustments for people's preferences and opinions all the time, do we? If you don't like it, so what? I like it. And that's what we tell people. But when we talk about a vertical relationship, that's when we make the adjustments to what we're going to hate and what we're going to love. Let's give an example of that. Look at Brother Joseph. He's in Genesis 39. Verse 9, he's being confronted by Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar. And he says to her, after she was all day long stalking him, trying to get him to commit adultery, trying to get him to dishonor God and dishonor Mr. Potiphar. He said this, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He did not say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against Mr. Potiphar? or sin against the Pharaoh of Egypt. Or sin against the people who managed me here in this house. Or he became the manager eventually, did he not? He says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because all sin ultimately, even horizontally, is against God. But you got to have the wisdom to know the difference. Because many of us believe that when we sin against others, we're just sinning against that person. So we don't care if we sin. If we're being disrespectful to a person and not to God, we'll be disrespectful to the person, but I wouldn't disrespect God. But you're disrespecting the person that's created in God's image. Yes. Are you not inadvertently disrespecting God? If you look at the law of God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, that's vertical and horizontal. Because everything we do horizontally in relationships interpersonally reflects upon God vertically. So if you sleep with your neighbor's wife, you do sin against your neighbor, his wife in him or her in him. But you also sin against the God who created marriage to be between one man and one woman for life. You know what I'm saying? If you stole from your neighbor, you ultimately are sinning against God because God said in his law, do not steal. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm trying to say that wisdom understands that one's vertical relationship with God should be expressed and lived out in an interpersonal relationship with other people. That's why he can say, how can I do this and sin against God? Because at the essence of his sin is an affront to the God who created him in his image.
That's right.
This is what David said after he conspired to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. And for 9 months he kept silent. Then he was confronted by Nathan the prophet as he was sitting on his throne. And he realized that he was the man. And he said in Psalms 51, against thee, listen what he said, thee only have I sinned. That's something. It wasn't only God, was it? He sinned against Uriah. He had him killed. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against the nation of Israel, right? Governmentally speaking. Because he was the top of the governmental system. He was the king. But he says, against you, God, only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Why? Because when you understand wisdom, you understand that what he did was an affront to the God that created and gave and provided all that he enjoyed. So it's ultimately against God. Wisdom helps you to understand. If you have wisdom going into it, you can do what Joseph did and avoid it. If you only gain wisdom by going through it, you'll be like David and have to repent. Who you want to be like? It's your decision. If you want to be wise, you have Joseph or you have David. What we tend to do practically, we're like David. We like the fact that experience brings wisdom. And experience does bring a level of wisdom that the inexperienced doesn't have. Doc, but when it comes to sin, should we be experienced in it as Christians? I mean, we got delivered from it, saved from it, forgiven from it, set free from it. Why do we want to be experienced in it again?
Mama.
We should be naive when it comes to sin,
yeah.
Right? But wise when it comes to understanding God's wisdom. So what I want to do, I want to know God more now so I can sin less later.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Wisdom helps me to walk accordingly to God's standard.
Yes, sir.
But I need to know his standard going in, not coming out.
That's right.
Because who says you're going to come out every time you go in? Wisdom would think like that. Wisdom would say, you may not make it out next time with everything intact. with your mind intact, with your relationship intact, with your marriage intact, your family intact, your finances intact. You may not make it out this time around. Whatever you've done foolishly in the past, you should stop being foolish like that. Because this time you may get caught up and taken over by that thing. Sin has a way of taking you over when you're not wise, because you think it won't hurt very long. I'll just go ahead and live with the consequences. You don't want to do that. If you wise, you don't want to live with the consequences of foolish, sinful choices. Because they will haunt you to the grave. Even if you know you're forgiven, you're still battling internally with this guilt complex. Oh, you hear it all the time in testimonies. You hear it all the time. Just listen. People who've made those decisions sinfully, willfully, with foreknowledge, when they're forgiven, they still struggle with the fact that they did it. When you're wise, you want to avoid sin. And you want to walk in righteousness. So on what basis did Joseph make this assessment regarding sexual sin? There was no law, was it? Was Moses on the scene yet? No. That's like 2,000 years down the road, 1,000 years down the road. It was the fear of God. It was the knowledge of the holiness of God. He had a godly perspective on his temptation. He saw his temptation through the eyes of wisdom, because he had the wisdom of God. Yes. Didn't Pharaoh say, this man has the spirit of the gods on him? What he was saying, he saw the wisdom on him. It was his wisdom. It was his knowledge. It was the insights that came from God to him, because the scripture says throughout the life of Joseph, God was with Joseph. Well, how was that manifested? Through wise decision making. It was the wisdom that he possessed. And that wisdom was given by God, because getting wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And that's what he had. Psalms 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So he had insight into God because he feared God, and God gave him the wisdom to be a slave in Egypt, and to rise from the ranks of being a slave to being second in command.
Yes, sir.
That was the wisdom of God at work in him. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the wisdom of God in those men. Moses, who chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt, did that because he had the fear of God. Because outside of the fear of God, he would not have had the knowledge to make that kind of discernment. He wouldn't have had the faith or the insight to say it's better to suffer than to live in the lap of luxury. Is it? From a natural mind perspective, give me the lap of luxury. You take the lap of suffering. But beloved, he saw through God's perspective,
amen,
his situation in Egypt. And that's what wisdom is all about, seeing life from God's perspective, having his knowledge and gaining his insight to make application to life. There are issues you're dealing with now that you need the wisdom of God to make the decision. This is where God's wisdom is needed, because at times we love what God hates and we hate what God loves. As free moral agents, we need the wisdom of God to guide our moral, ethical, and spiritual choices. Solomon, he concluded his message in Ecclesiastes 12:13. And he concluded this message because in his writings, he was trying to find happiness, pleasure, power, significance, security, satisfaction without God. And he purposely set out to see if he could find it all without God and still have his wisdom intact. And so God allowed him to go through this journey, foolishness, foolish choices, trying to find himself in others, trying to find his meaning, his purpose, his morality, his origins, his destiny in the things of earth. Because there's nothing new under the sun, right? So he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Chapters 1 through 11. Fear God. This is it. This is what he discovered. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to please him. It means I don't want to displease him because I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. Fearing of the Lord involves affection, right? As well as one's behavior, as well as one's intellect. It involves your affections. That you so love God that you understand who he is in terms of his character, his nature, his essence, his being. You so understand his attributes of love, mercy, grace, kindness, and all those benefits that come to us from God. You understand that you are because he is. That you live and move and have your being because of him.
Yes, sir.
That you have achieved and reached the highest plateaus in life because of him. Yeah. And because of that, you do not want to displease him because you love him. That's the heart of fearing God. It's an affectionate love for God. It's an affectionate desire to please God, to honor him, to stand in awe of his greatness. Stand in awe of his omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence and infallibility and immutability. To stand in awe of his love, his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, his kindness toward you. And you are caught up in the very essence of who God is. And you tell yourself, because he's been so good to me, I cannot do that. I cannot go there. I cannot support that. I cannot affirm that. I cannot go along with the party because of him and my affections towards him, my knowledge of him. Because the knowledge of God is to have insight into his holiness.
Yes.
And because of that, you fear him. Because at the heart of your fearing God is to please him, to honor him, to esteem him, to exalt him above everything, including yourself. So, let's come to a conclusion here. Getting wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. But fearing the Lord begins with faith in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's Hebrews 10, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yes.
For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Amen.
Beloved, getting wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but fearing the Lord begins with faith in the Lord. Because when we fear him and have faith in him, we will seek him. We'll seek his wisdom. At the heart of seeking wisdom is seeking the knowledge of God revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in him. So if we're going to pursue wisdom, we have to get wisdom. If we're going to get wisdom, we have to fear God. If we're going to fear God, we got to have faith in God. If we're going to have faith in God, guess what we have to do? Obey God. Love God. And worship him. Beloved, I'm just at the beginning of knowledge. Because it's a journey. It's a path that we walk down each moment of each day in each circumstance, in each situation, in each conflict, in each confrontation. We have to apply the knowledge of God to those areas of life that we struggle in. But it starts here. It starts with getting wisdom. And getting wisdom begins with a healthy reverence, honor, affection, and respect for him. But if you don't know who he is, you can't honor him the way he's saying honor him. You got to know him. When you know him, you love him. When you love him, you obey him. When you obey him, you worship. Because that's what God wants out of our lives, does he not? He wants our worship. And our worship should be wise and not foolish. Our worship just shouldn't begin and end on Sunday morning, but our worship should be a lifestyle. It should be a process, a step-by-step, walk-by-walk, day-by-day expression of our affectionate love towards him. And so, that's the first step in pursuing wisdom, is to get it. And to get it, you have to fear him. And in fearing him, this affectionate desire to please him begins the journey of knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the simplicity and the clarity of your truth. That you tell us how to discover, to find, to search, to seek out wisdom. You place us on a path not of this independent search apart from you, but an interdependent, dependent relationship with you. For you are the wisdom we're seeking for. You are the one that can give us the knowledge, the insight, the understanding, the discernment to live our lives in a way that expresses our honor and affection and love and faith and worship towards you. Forgive us for the foolishness, the unwise decisions, the unwise living, the unwise thinking that we expressed this week. When you called us in Christ, who is the very treasure trove of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and we are in him. And we have access to that wisdom, to that knowledge, to that understanding because of him. But we live our lives by worldly wisdom and human knowledge. We try to find our purpose and meaning, our destiny in this life through earthly means and through earthly gain, and not through eternal gain. Give us wisdom today. Give us wisdom to assess our own hearts and minds, to examine within our own hearts the faith that you have deposited within us, to see if that faith is Godward or selfward. To see if our fear of you is not fear of you, but fear of others. Fear of circumstances, fear of failure, fear of people. Because we want to make ourselves look acceptable to people more than we want to look before you. Free us from that false fear and false faith. Give us a genuine faith and a genuine fear and a genuine love for you. That we are here because of you. We're on the planet today because of you. And we were created and made and born for your glory, for your pleasure, and for your honor. We exist because of you. And it's only through you that we can find meaning, significance, security, satisfaction for our existence. It's only in you. Give us the wisdom to know the difference and then to pursue after you with all our hearts, to worship you wisely, to love you wisely, to obey you wisely, to serve you wisely, so that the light of your love and your grace and mercy may shine through us, that others will see you because of us. Lord, as we sing the song so many times, but sometimes we just don't make the application. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me, Lord, to show someone else the way. Enable me to say, my storage is empty, and I am available to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.